The Guardian.
Hello and welcome to The Guardian Film Show. Binge drinking its way around the picture houses. Arranged on the bar, we've got the full-bodied pint of English comedy, the golden brew from Saudi Arabia, the forbidden love potion, and the hard slug of serial killer action. And after all that, please forgive us if our conversation turns a little loud, a little effusive, and possibly incoherent. Wetting our whistles this week, Guy Pearce and Felicity Jones are on a quiet collision course in the romantic drama Breathe In. Nicolas Cage and John Cusack are on a noisy collision course in Frozen Ground. And a pocket rebel sets out to upturn the patriarchy in the ravishing Saudi drama Wajda. But we begin at the World's End. This is the mythical pub that Simon Pegg and his friends absolutely positively have to reach before time is called and the curtain comes down. It's the final part of the Cornetto trilogy, a swaggering tale of lost youth, lost senses, and the blue-blooded aliens who are taking over England. And here's Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Edgar Wright to tell me all about it.
Ever had one of those nights that starts out like any other, but ends up being the best night of your life? I did. Our goal that night was simple. 12 pubs, 12 pints. From the first post to the world's end. But that night, we never made it.
That's where the whole idea came from, is that bittersweet feeling of returning to your hometown and feeling like a stranger. And so that very quickly became to make the, you know, to take that metaphor and make it that there's a reason it feels different, that it you know, it really has changed.
The whole idea was like the town itself had been body snatched. You know, when you go home and everything is familiar and yet alien, and it's that thing of it looks like the person you know, but it isn't the person you know, and that counts for the town. And we just thought, as a almost very natural progression, what wouldn't it be funny if that was because it had been invaded?
Why are we even here?
We are here to get annihilated.
You come back and everything's sort of weird.
I suggest you get on your way.
It's not us that's changed, it's the town!
Your success comes out of a kind of genteel failure. It's the sort of perspective of the nerdish outsiders. Do you worry that too much success will take you away from that perspective? Or is that just a problem that failures have?
It's interesting, whenever we get asked about, and we still do get asked about another series of Spaced, one of the reasons why we're not going to do it is because we couldn't possibly write it with any degree of truth now, because that's not where we are or who we are anymore. I always find it's better to write from a perspective of truth, even if that means research, before you start, like we did with Hot Fuzz. But you have to understand the situation that you're writing about in some empathetic way. And yeah, there is a danger. That's why we try and our very, very best to not inhabit some, you know, received idea of what it is to be successful. You got to try and keep it real. Yeah.
That's why our next film is going to be about buying a decrepit farmhouse in the Ardennes and doing it up.
Welcome home, boys.
I'm joined now by the Guardian film critic Peter Bradshaw and the Guardian's Henry Barnes. Peter, this is the final part of the Cornetto trilogy. As with The Godfather 3, have they saved the best till last?
Well, not as with The Godfather 3. I think they rather have, actually. I've always really, really enjoyed these movies. They have a certain kind of self-satirizing, kind of David Brentian sort of humour, which I've always found very funny. It's very fluent. It's kept the steam heat going throughout these three films. And what's very interesting is that Edgar Wright has always pulled off the trick of sort of persuading you to take it seriously at some level, as well as it being just a monumental TV sketch or a feature-length episode of Spaced. He's actually made it work as a feature film. The first movie, Shaun of the Dead, sort of was a zombie film in a way. Mm. And even Hot Fuzz sort of persuaded you to take it seriously as a kind of action thriller of sorts. And this is sort of a sci-fi movie as well. I think they've pulled off an incredible thing, which is actually importing the spirit of a hit TV comedy into a properly good feature film, which I think, I mean, Morecambe and Wise never managed it. I mean, the history of TV comedy is littered with people who haven't managed it. Yeah. you know, Robert Wade and David Mitchell never managed it. But Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg and Nick Frost have managed it, and I think it's kind of great.
Alternatively, Henry, it's giving them enough rope to hang themselves. There's something pretty indulgent about this film as well, isn't there?
It's slightly indulgent, but I think what they've done is also develop their comedy, and their comedy's always been about nostalgia. Spaced is about looking at the things that you love in your childhood and taking them into adulthood, and so was Shaun of the Dead, in a sense, and so was Hot Fuzz, by the fact that they were genre films in their own right. And I think this is great because it takes that and destroys it. It says that nostalgia can be the death of you, as well as something that will keep you going as you get later into life and you realise that everything isn't as golden as in your late teenage years. So I think while there is an element of self-indulgence, and there always has been about their comedy, this has developed it to the point where they've realised that they've got to the end of that road in terms of their career, and they can't really take this form of comedy any further. So why not drag it into the end of the world and put it all to the flame?
Mm. What are the serious points in this film?
Well, I think it has some, not serious exactly, but certainly satirical points. It's about the alienation of modern franchise middle Britain. And I think in its own modest way, it has some interesting things to say about that. When you look around, you walk into a pub and it's exactly the same as the other pub. And there's a kind of Twilight Zone feeling as you walk into any town in middle Britain and you see Starbucks and Specsavers and Greggs, and you realise it's exactly the same and people look exactly the same. And there is a weird kind of Area 51 sort of thing going on. And also, I think, the alienation from yourself and from the pop culture. As Henry says, it's sustained you for so long. And then one day you wake up and you realise you're slightly too old for it. And the young people in the street, you think you've got something in common with them, and yet you don't. Mm. They look blank and even hostile. And you realise that you've been sustained by pop culture and digital media and the instant availability of your own past with Facebook and Friends Reunited. And you think, surely I can, in my heart, stay 17 or 27 or whatever I want to do. And yet there is a terrible, organic, physiological thing happens, and then you're expelled from it. And that also, I think, is what this film, in its own interestingly low-key way, is about.
Good evening, Raimondo. The prodigal son's return.
Aye.
Who's on the guest list tonight?
Come again?
The guest Eos. We, sir, are doing the Golden Mile, and you have the honour of drawing first blood. What do you recommend?
There's one. It's crowning glory.
Rather fitting.
How's that?
I'm Gary King.
What?
So tell me more.
What?
Crowning glory, is it nutty? Is it foamy? Is it hoppy? Does it have a surprisingly fruity note which lingers on the tongue?
It's beer.
We'll have five of those, please.
The gang come a cropper in The World's End. And now it's time we dim the lights and softened the mood. Drake Doremus's hushed human drama invites us to sit back and breathe in. And what possible trouble could come from that?
Sophie, why don't you play something for us as a way to introduce yourself to the class? Way of saying hi.
Breathe In stars Guy Pearce as a married, middle-aged music teacher, his rock dreams in the past, a life of cosy mediocrity up ahead. Then, in walks Felicity Jones's self-possessed English exchange student, wise beyond her years, and pointing the way to romance and freedom, or possibly an emotional pile-up of biblical proportions. Henry, he's in his 40s, she's 18, but did they convince you as a couple?
They didn't, really, no. I mean, I think both Guy Pearce and Felicity Jones are great actors, and I think the cast in this is brilliant, but they all seem to be doing little solo pieces on their own rather than playing as an ensemble. I think that might be Drake Doremus's problem for me, is that he has a great crew around him. I think the editing and the way this is shot is beautiful, and it's a really nicely put together drama. But the plot for me was like a ludicrous extended version of the OC. It's full of, you know, sexy older guys and live younger women coming together in taut situations where their romance shouldn't happen, but hey, it just might. It's kind of really silly, this film, in its own way, and it takes itself incredibly seriously, and to me it was a big turn off for that reason.
It's certainly very solemn, isn't it? And the solemnity is reflected by the Felicity Jones character, who barely cracks a smile and is this sort of solemn agent of chaos, isn't she? I mean, she really does. She is like a kind of Godzilla.
I thought there was something interesting about her, actually. I thought there was something interesting about the movie in general, though I certainly agree it is very self-conscious and very solemn. What I liked about it was that moment of madness, which happens almost invisibly, and you don't know quite how it's going to happen. And Guy Pearce is very good at conveying the self-pity and the prickly discontent. And also, there's something very interesting about the way Felicity Jones's character is, again, self-absorbed and kind of arrogant and entitled in the way that young people can be, very teenagers can be so artless. Yeah. And there's two interesting moments when she does something that she needs somebody's permission to do, and she never apologises or even understands. She flunks out of his class, and then she says she's going away to stay with someone else, and she manages to annoy both the Guy Pearce character and his wife without ever appearing to understand that she's done anything wrong. And I thought that was interesting, although, yeah, it doesn't quite come together. I wanted a sort of flash of passion or something, and it was very controlled, beautifully made, and a bit over-determined.
I also think there's a couple of huge giant piano playing cliches in this, in the one scene where Felicity Jones starts to play a slow song and he thinks, oh, she's just a regular old pupil. Yeah. And suddenly her hands go crazy. Yeah.
Suddenly she's Liberace.
God, she's sexy when she hits that high E and all that kind of nonsense. And then there's a bit where they're sat down playing the piano together.
Is she going to have a crack at the flight of the bumblebee?
But then they sit down together next to each other at the piano and then their fingers touch the same note.
It's happening.
Also, why couldn't she have just been an average pianist? She has to be absolutely brilliant.
She has to be. Although I think it is interesting that that is the sexy thing about her. It's cliche, but I still think it's quite strong that she doesn't have to do anything. She just happens to be very, very talented. Although, yes, suddenly uncorking that massive Chopin is very broad. It's very broad.
Guy Pearce and Felicity Jones throwing caution to the wind in Breathe In. Next up, it's Wajda, the tale of a girl, a bike, and a Quran reading competition that might just bring the two together. This is the first feature from the Saudi director Haifa Al-Mansour, the first film from a woman director in Saudi Arabian history. And here she is to tell us how she did it.
طيب ممكن اقيسه؟
ممكن تقيسينه. في نهاية الممر في دورة مياه للنساء. قيسي عليك ممكن اضيق.
شكرا.
I tried to be respectful of the culture. I tried to tell a story and maintain my voice as empowering women, but I tell it softly. I'm not a person who is like a radical or something like that, and I don't try to clash with the culture. I try to tell an intimate story and bring people and hopefully change their perspective on film, and they see film puts a human face on the culture rather than like expose it.
ايش رايك في الفستان؟ تلقين بيعجب ابوك؟
As the first female director from Saudi Arabia, does that make you a hero at home or a pariah, or does that depend on who you speak to?
Both. Both, I think a lot of people like feel like it is very important for women to take now, and the Saudi Arabia is opening up and changing, and there's so many people who are like pro women's rights, and they want to see things happen and change. And there are some people who are very conservative, and they think women taking professions of that type threatens the values and all that. And for me, I sympathize with that, and I understand that change is such a painful process, and people need to take time to change on their own pace and not to be forced to adapt into a new lifestyle without really like believing it. And for me, it is exciting now that to see Saudi Arabia is changing. There are so many things happening, especially when it comes to women. Very small, but still, like, steady. And and changes the mindset and how people think.
Peter, this was at Venice Film Festival, and the news was it was the first film from a Saudi Arabian female director, and that was the news story.
Yeah.
And yet the film itself, I think, is actually really good. It transcends all of that.
Yes, I think it's... I liked it very much. I think it has something of the neorealists. Obviously, it's indebted a little bit to Bicycle Thieves. It also reminds me very much of films from what I think of as the House of Mahmoud Baf, Mohsen Mahmoud Baf and his daughter Samira Mahmoud Baf, who went for this kind of very pointed, loaded innocence, which was offset against a world of cynicism and disillusion. And this, I think, imported some of that spirit as well. It also has a very, very Hollywoodish happy ending, which might make it a real commercial proposition in this country, as it happens.
Some nice kind of low-key comedy as well, around the absolute fear of the female in this film. There's the teacher, who, a brilliant performance from the actress who plays the teacher, who says that a woman's laughter is her nakedness.
Yes.
And then when Wajda falls over and barks her knee and she says, I'm bleeding, the mum says, is it your virginity? And there's a lot of kind of weird satirical fun in there.
Yeah, but it's still gentle enough that it's not going to get the director in too much trouble. I think she's been quite canny and deft with that. Yeah. She said in that interview that not every film from the Middle East about women has to be this hugely dramatic, terrible tragedy. Like, things over there are incredibly difficult for women, but you can find comedy in the situation and you can tell a story that people are hopefully going to go and see and change things gently like that. I think Peter's absolutely right about it being very Hollywood. In fact, as soon as I finished watching it, I thought, you know, foreign film Oscar, potentially, at least a contender. And if that means that more people get to see the film, more people start thinking about equal rights in countries like Saudi Arabia, then why not go for it? You know, this is, I think this is a great, fun, touching and funny film.
Do you think it's too Hollywood? Is this, I mean, presumably this is a trade-off that all these filmmakers have to make, and it's funded by German money and I think French money.
Yes. I don't think it's too Hollywood. It's certainly, there's a spoonful of sugar there, which, for example, the Mahmoud Bar films don't have, although they themselves are indebted to European money. So they have their own tastes and sensibilities, which they're catering for. No, I don't think it's excessive, but it's certainly quite strong when you think this is not, you know, this isn't just a miserablest film by any means.
والله يعني ما تدري بنات ما يكبون السياكل اللي تدري زين عن وش اتكلم وتدري ما بيك فيها سياكل لاي احد شريط منوعات بما احنا صرنا اصحاب الان
واد محمد in search of a bike in Wajda. Right, that's it. They're calling last orders. There's only time to sink one last film. It's called Frozen Ground and it goes down like this.
Why don't you just start at the beginning?
Okay. He brought me to his place. He wrapped a chain around my neck.
You ready for some more fun?
Oh, God, please just let me go. He was gonna kill me.
Zip up your parkas for an Alaskan-set cop thriller, charting the hunt for the 1980s serial killer Robert Hansen, who led his victims out into the wild. It's got John Cusack as the killer, Nicolas Cage as the cop on his trail, and Vanessa Hudgens as the local lap dancer who may just unlock the mystery while parading in her pants.
Drop the gun now!
Jesus, it's more than 20 of them.
Oh my God.
Did you panic when you killed them? You had their blood all over your hands?
Get out!
You think you can threaten me?
Bob.
You think you know who I am? You don't have any idea who I am.
Henry, it's Nick Cage against Cusack. Who lands the heaviest punches?
It's not exactly a face-off moment, this. It's it's a very by-the-numbers crime thriller for me. It knows the playbook and it runs all the plays and it's perfectly watchable, but it really doesn't bring anything of great mystery or thrill to the watch experience. It reminded me a tiny bit of something like Summer of Sam, but without the community or the atmosphere of New York. Yeah, or the summer. You're stuck up in Alaska instead, and it is chilling in the worst way. This, it just kind of puts you on ice.
Strange career Cusack's having now. He's sort of gravitated to the serial killer vein.
He's playing the bad guys.
Yeah. So was that terrible film about the boy who worked for the papers.
Terribly good film, I'm thinking of. And now
the
this.
The four-star paperboy.
Outstanding film. Misunderstood. then this. I quite enjoyed this in a way. Henry's absolutely right. It is It is by the numbers. It reminded me, in a way, had a kind of Prime Suspect vibe, which I did like. The idea that if I was watching this as a single drama episode, I think I would be oddly more gripped by it because it's there's something about it. I like the kind of classic scenes.
The procedural
scenes and him rowing with the DA saying, you've got to give us a warrant before time runs out. I love all that stuff. And also a bit of...
And he's on the brink of retirement
yes,
as well.
He's almost out and they're reeling back in. But also the psychological thing with a certain piece of jewellery. I mean, it's... Some people might say, oh, my God, that's so hokey. But I kind of love it. I mean,
I'm saying, oh, my God, it's so
hokey. I must say, I did quite enjoy it. Nick Cage, more or less under control. Didn't do any sudden shouting. Mm. More or less under control. Cusack... You know, fine, good. I quite like Vanessa Hudgens.
He's got glasses, right.
Yeah.
Little twitch in his face, and he likes stuffed animals.
And he likes
stuffed animals. Come on, this is your guy.
He might be a good guy, though. He might be. I must say, I found it quite watchable. I did find it quite watchable. I like that sort of procedural Prime Suspect interrogation stuff. It's not going to win any awards. It's not particularly brilliant. But I must say, it is well put together. And these sorts of things, they look easy, but they're not.
You have anything on a Robert C. Hansen? Grabbed some girl back in 71, drove her at gunpoint, hands bound and naked to Kenai Lake, and then raped her. He got 5 years, he was out in 3 months. Seems he just had a run-in with a prostitute. She told Anchorage police the exact same story. Why isn't this guy on our list?
It was 12 years ago if we opened it up that much.
Get everything you can from archives, see if there are any other past offenses, and check all missing persons from the same period. Do you know anyone downtown, Vice?
Yeah, one guy, why?
I need a meet. Tonight.
Got it.
8 girls in the last 2 years, all late teens, early 20s, 5'2", 5'7", 120, 125 pounds, all made big money dates with a stranger and then disappeared.
Time, gentlemen, please. That's it from us. Henry and I are now heading to catch the last bus. Though I think Peter may be going onto a club or something. If you see him, do send him home. We're back again next week.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.